Okay, good morning, everybody. We should have an easy and meaningful Asura B'Teves. And let us begin. We left off yesterday towards the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. We had a discussion. David HaMelech, he wakes up early in the morning. So he wakes up at midnight. We said he went to sleep only sometimes earlier, but he always wakes up by midnight. So the Gemara had a question. How does David HaMelech know exactly when midnight is? So we had said Moshe Rabbeinu apparently did not know when midnight is. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu not know something, and yet David HaMelech would know something? So that was the question that we left off yesterday. And we brought a raya that he said kachatzos halayla rather than bachatzos halayla to demonstrate that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. And we asked, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, so why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu know? He must not know, so how could David HaMelech know? So therefore, that's the question that we had. So we're about 8-10 lines up from the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. So it says, V'David have a yoda, how could David have know? So where it says, yeah, David did know. David simona havale. He had a mechanism, we'll see, it's an interesting mechanism, technologically advanced mechanism, according to some of the Mefarshim, that told him exactly when midnight was. Where was that? How do we know that? We're in Sanhedrin. Dover Rav Acha bar Bizno Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. Kinor hayotolui lemala mitoso. He had a harp. He had a kinor that was hanging above his bed. And mitoso shel David. V'kiva shigia chatzos halayla. And exactly at midnight, that's when the winds apparently changed in certain ways. Bo ruach tzifonis v'noshevis bo u'minagin me'elov. So the harp would be arranged. Some say there was like a some sort of a pulley system that the harp would be going around, and when it hit a certain point, the winds blowed in certain directions. The Rashi goes through the winds. This wind blew for 6 hours, then that wind blew for 6 hours. Tosfos points out that this northern wind blew all the time, but only at midnight till 6 a.m. did it blow by itself. And when the harp was exactly aligned in such a way with the wind, so then the wind blew the harp, and as a result, he would wake up. This was his alarm clock. He had a great alarm clock. It was bidiyuk, never was off. Bidiyuk at midnight, it would wake him up. Miyad, immediately, he'd immediately get up and learn Torah. Until dawn came, and then he would daven. Kivin shalom on Hashachar, at dawn first, before he would daven, kivin shalom on Hashachar, niklusu chachmi Yisrael etzlo. The chachamim would come into him, and they would ask him, Amru lo, Adonenu HaMelech, Amcha Yisrael tzvichim parnasa. They would take care of the state needs. There were pressing needs. So they said, the people need to have parnasa over here. There's attacks from the Plishtim, attacks from all over the place, and they were having problems with parnasa. So Amru lahem, l'chu v'sparnasu, zem izes. So do business, one with the other. So they told them, Amru lo, ein ha-komitz mazbiya esuari, ein ha-bor mismaili michuyosu. They said, just can't make business from just what we have right now. And a lot of interesting explanations over here is exactly what these expressions that he used meant. So it says, you can't satisfy a hungry lion with a komitz, which is a handful. Others suggest that komitz is a kamtsa, which means a grasshopper. Other interpretations are given as well. In other words, the lion isn't going to be satisfied with this morsel over here that you want to give it to it. Or the bor can't be filled up with its own dirt. So if you dig a bor and you try to put back in the dirt, you're not going to have enough. Or if you try to fill up the bor by digging from the other side to put into this side, you're not going to fill it up. Again, a number of different interpretations that I think the meaning is clear over here. There's not enough parnasa over here to go around and make parnasa from one person to the other. Amalahem. So David responded back to his leaders that came to him. Luchu upashtu yedechem begidud. So, okay, so then we have to stop the marauders, we have to stop the plishtim, we have to stop the terrorists that are going to prey on our trading routes and our people, and therefore go and get an army, and we'll defeat them, and then when there's peace, the prosperity will reign. Miyad. So what would they do? You didn't just go to battle in those days. You first had to ask permission, so to say, from the Sanhedrin, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then from the military offices to make sure that it would be a campaign that would be successful. So number one, Miyad Yoatzim Bachitofel. So they went to ask Achitofel, who was like the Secretary of State to David HaMelech, and give advice on what we should do. Then the Nimlochim and Sanhedrin, they have to ask the Sanhedrin, do we have the halachic right to go out to battle? And then Bisholim Bur Metum, they would go ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are we going to be successful? This is our plan. Is it going to work? And this is what they did. Amar Rav Yosef, how do we know? Meikra, where do we know over here? That this is the way that it was done. So it's based upon the following pasuk. It says in Divrei Hayamim, Achri Achitofel, after they asked Achitofel, they went to Binayah ben Yoyada, who was the head of the Sanhedrin. And then the Eviyasar, they went to, then Eviyasar was the Kohen Gadol, so they asked the Yerubatumim. And then the Sarat Sova, Lamelech, Yoav. So then they would go and ask the general, now go and go ahead. We have permission to go ahead. So the Gemara says, Achitofel is a Yoetz. Achitofel, as I already told you, is the advisor, so to say, as to tactics that they should be going and doing. V'cheinu Omer, Batzas Achitofel, Asher Yoetz, Bayom Amheim, Kasher Yishal, Badovor Helukim, Bidvar Helukim. So this is what they would do. They would go and ask Achitofel advice. Then it would say, Binoyo, he was a reference to the Sanhedrin. As Rashi tells us, Shoya Abbased, and he was the head of the Sanhedrin. So therefore, they would go and ask him, on behalf of the Sanhedrin, is this something that we should be doing? And then they would ask Eviyasa, he was a Kohen Gadol, and that's a reference to the Urim V'Tumim. Okay, Tosfos over here has a whole discussion, who exactly was Binoyo, and his father, Yoyada. Interesting discussion. Again, we always don't have enough time in the Daf Yomi to go through all the Tosfos inside, but if you want to look yourself, it's a very interesting Tosfos. In any event, the Chayin Omer and another pasuk in Shmuel corroborates this idea as well. That he was in charge over here of the crazy and the placey. What does that mean? The Lomanik Rosh Shmuel crazy placey. This is the Urim V'Tumim over here. Crazy shekarsim divrayim. Placey shemuflaim bidivrayim. So this concept over here of the crazy and the placey. This is the Sanhedrin, rather, I said before, the Urim V'Tumim, this is the Sanhedrin, that they would be Kores, and they would be Mufloim B'Divrayim. So they would be the ones that would tell the people what to do, the Sanhedrin. They were the Supreme Court. They would tell them what they needed to do. So some have the gears over here, as Rashi says over here, Shekorsim is Divrayim, Sheomim Devarim Kitsuvim Ugmurim, Shelo Yiftichu V'Lo Yosifu. They would give you specific instructions. You shouldn't add or detract from them. Then on the side, there's another girsa over here that says, V'lomenikro shvam urim v'tumim. Why would they call the urim v'tumim? Urim shemeirim es divrayim. They would light up, so to say, the words. The urim v'tumim would work by being lit up, so to say. And tumim shemashlimim es divrayim. They would complete and tell the people what to do. In any event, then, and only after that, v'achachach sadzwa lemelech yov. And only after that, they'd go to the general to carry out the plan. Fine. Amar v'yitzel barada, v'amilo amar v'yitzel barei deravidi, Micro, what does the pasuk mean over here when it says Ura Kivodi Ura Neva Vachino or Ira Shochai? This is a reference to David HaMelech that he would get up early. So this is another pasuk that shows that Ura Kivodi, Rashi says over here, Ura Kivodi means Altis Kabdi Bishino Kishar Malochim. Now, some people they brag, I'm so rich, I'm so powerful, I'm so wealthy, I get up at 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to get up early to work. I don't have to get up early to do that. That's how other kings, secular kings, other kings would go and, brag about themselves. Look how powerful I am. I don't have to get up. I get up whenever I feel like getting up. I don't have to get up at a set early time. And David Melech says, no, my covenant is the exact opposite. I get up for the Torah. Shar Melochim, as Rashi says, Hashachem Morim. They wake up when it gets light outside. Vani Moris Hashachem, but I'm already up. I, so to say, I waken the Shachar. I'm already up learning when all the rest of them are sleeping. So that's the pasuk, or an allusion to this idea that David HaMelech says that I get up at midnight and I greet the Shachar as opposed to all the other kings. They, when it gets 3 hours into the day, that's when they get up. Rabbi Zera Omar, no, I have a different understanding over here. Moshe Rabbeinu also knew when Chatzos was, and David HaMelech knew when Chatzos was. Moshe Liolim Ha'avi Yoda, V'David Nami Ha'avi Yoda. They both knew when Chatzos was. So why did David need an alarm clock? If they all knew when Chatzos was, so what's the purpose of the alarm clock? Telling us a very important idea. The key to David have a yoda, so why did he need this magical, technologically advanced system over here of the wind blowing and the harp playing? So Chazal learned out from here that you got to set an alarm. Never trust anything for yourself. And there are certain dinim when it comes to davening, for example, if a person doesn't want to daven in the optimal time, he wants to eat sometimes, let's say marv, you want to daven at the 10 o'clock marv. So you're really not supposed to eat before you daven marv, so you should set an alarm. You have to tell somebody to make sure that you don't forget. And this idea over here is a person shouldn't rely upon natural ability, so to say, that he's going to wake up whenever he's supposed to. You should take practical efforts, Chazal say, to go wake up. That's what David HaMelech did. He knew when midnight was, but he wasn't sure that he would wake up for sure at that point in time, so he set up this alarm system. So Gemara says, wait a second. Now, if you're telling me that Moshe and David know, so I understand why David needed a system over here to wake him up. But he wants to, he was sleeping. But what? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say, Bachatzos HaLaila? If he knows exactly when it is, so then he shouldn't hesitate to say, at exactly 12:00, that's when Makkos Bechoros is going to start. Why didn't he say around 12 o'clock Makkos Bechoros is going to start? But even the Moshe Aviyoda, So why did Moshe Rabbeinu say around midnight? He should have said bidiyuk by midnight. So it teaches us again another very important idea. Moshe kisavar, Moshe thought, shemayitu atztignine paro. They don't know when midnight is. They're going to say, ah, now it's midnight. The yomru Moshe abadoyhu. And they're going to say, ah, Moshe's a liar. Even though everything he says is going to come through a half a minute later. Right? So they can say, no, that's a natural phenomenon. You're wrong. You said midnight. Ah, we say right now is midnight. And 20 seconds later, the Makkos Bechoros starts. No, that's a natural phenomenon. You were wrong. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to remove this potential ridiculous diatribe that they would have against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu, this libel, no, this isn't you. So in order to remove that, Moshe Rabbeinu said, around midnight. This way they couldn't say, well, it's not midnight. You're wrong, Moshe Rabbeinu. Yom Amar, because we have a famous comment from the Masechta Derech Eretz Zuta. Derech Eretz Zuta is not learned in the Daf Yomi, but it's one of the ones called the minor tractates, the Masechtos Kitanos. It's found in the back of the Gemara, and it's not in the Daf Yomi cycle, but it has a lot of very, very important ideas in it as well, and it tells us over there, Lamei Lishoncha Lomar Eini Yodeya. Teach yourself to say, I don't know. One of the best things a person can learn in life is to say, I don't know the answer to that. You find Rashi in a number of places says, I don't know. What does Rashi have to tell us? I don't know. You just skip it. And, you know, what do you have to brag to everybody you don't know? That makes you look not so good. So the answer is, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. And in fact, it's a positive thing to say, I don't know. Because Shema Tizbad Devesochas, because if you say something and you're wrong, they'll catch you. They'll see that you don't know what you're talking about. So sometimes say you don't know. That's a good idea. And therefore, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us over here. That's what the idea the Gemara is trying to tell us over here from Derech Eretz Zuta is don't be afraid to say, I don't know. That's a very smart thing to do as opposed to making up answers not really saying accurate stuff because you don't know. Ravashi Omar, the Palga de Urta. No, there's another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu said Kachatzos, because we've been understanding Kachatzos right now to mean around midnight. But that's not what it meant. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm going to cause Makkos Bechoros, when was that? The Palga, it was in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night between the 13th and the 14th, at midnight of the start of the 14th, because the day starts at night. And then he goes and tells Paro the next night, so originally, when he was told this, it was midnight the night before. And Moshe told Klal Yisrael, at this time tomorrow, kachatzos doesn't mean around, it means like this time. So right now it's exactly midnight, exactly kachatzos, like this tomorrow night, ki ha'idna, exactly like now, and he yotzei b'sof Mitzrayim, this Makkos Bechoros is going to start. Then the pasuk brings down from Tehillim, David shomer nafshi ki chosid oni. David says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Hashem, protect me because I'm a righteous individual. Very strange statement for somebody to make, especially somebody like David. So Gemara says, what exactly does this mean? So Gemara says, Levi Rav Yitzchak, the two barley pukta, we don't know which one said what, but one said, Chadomar, Kachomar, David Levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what David said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam, Lo Chosid Ani, aren't I a Chosid? Shekol Malchei Mizrach Umarov Yishenim Ad Shalosh Shos. All the other kings, if I wanted to, I could go and get up very late as well. Vani, but I, instead, Chatzos Laila Akum Lahodos Luchot, but I get up early in the middle of the night to go and praise you. So again, this is very strange. So many of the Mefarshim give different Teirutz, but I'll just give you a quick sampling of some of them. So some read this over here that it's not a Lashon Abismia, aren't I a Chassid? But the Maritz Chiyus explains over here that David HaMelech is saying, I'm not a Chassid. I'm a chassid compared to the secular kings. I'm not a chassid compared to real chassidim. But at the same time, I'm a king. So I have to compare myself to the other kings. And the other kings, they're pretty rotten. And they get up late in the morning. But I instead get up early in the morning. I'm not as great as a real tzaddikim. David HaMelech is humble. But he says, at least compared to the other kings, I'm a great individual. So that's one simple way to understand this over here. The other way is that this is David HaMelech talking through Ruach HaKodesh. So therefore, he's not extolling his own praise. This is all through Ruach HaKodesh, and he's saying what HaKodesh Baruch Hu wants him to say over here. In any event, that's the first opinion. Either Levi or Rav Yitzchak said that way. The other one said, V'idach, This is what David is alluding to in this capital of Tehillim. Ribono shel Olam, lo chasid ani, aren't I a righteous individual? Because look what I do. I don't have to do this. Other kings, again, he's comparing himself, the same explanation of why David HaMelech is talking over here, just a different thing that he's saying. But in both situations, David is a very humble person, and David is, in fact, not extolling his own virtues. It's either in a relative way, or he's speaking through Ruach HaKodesh. So he says, lo chasid ani, shekol malchim mizrach umar yoshin, agudos agudos bichvodom. All the other kings, they have their entourage, right? They have their marching band before them, the marching band after them, the soldiers, the troops, the whole cascade of people. There's a ton of people with them over here. Agudos, agudos. You know, groups and groups of people. They don't go by themselves. The king doesn't go alone anywhere. Vani, but what do I do? Instead of looking for the trappings of covet over here, my hands, Vani, your die, meluchlochos bedam ubishvir ubishilya. My hands are filled over here answering shilas of women. So in other words, I'm trying to do everything possible to be matir, a woman to her husband. One of the greatest things is when a husband and wife can be together. So I try to make sure that if they're mutter to each other, that we paskin that they're mutter to each other. So those of us who just did Maseches Nidah will understand this. There are numerous types of blood. We don't have this today, but in those days, there were types of red blood that were tameh, types of red blood that were tar. Remember, we had the four colors of red, then we had a color of black, and then we had Dam Tohar, Dam Leida, Dam Nida, Dam Ziva. We had all different types of blood. He had to distinguish between what type of blood was this. And then the Shvir was basically a Sufik Vlad. This was some sort of a miscarriage that the woman had, and not every miscarriage is going to make her Tomei Leida. Some yes, some no, depending on what she miscarried. And a Shulya, that's basically a placenta. And we have the rule, Rashi brings down over here, Ein Shulya below Vlad. So here there definitely was a child. She's definitely Tomei Leida. The only question is whether it's Zoch or Nekev, if you remember back. So these are all the Shilas that David HaMelech says, I'm involved with every day. This is what I do. I'm the king, and this is how I evolve my life. Instead of going out to parties and having all these state dinners and all these wonderful things that the other kings do, that's not what I do. And I do all this in order to make sure that women are allowed to be with their husbands allowed to be with their wives. That's the greatest thing that a person can do to make shalom bayis. Furthermore, I don't even possibly sell my own. I'm not willing to go and take this on my own. Rebbe. I go and ask all my shilas to my Rebbe still. Who is Mephibosheth? So we'll see in a moment. He's either a son of Shaul or a grandson of Shaul, the son of Yonah's son. So he's a melech himself. He's from royal family himself. So he asks Mephibosheth his Rebbe. And Mephibosheth, David HaMelech, wasn't afraid to have Shaul's son or grandson be his Rebbe. And that's why he calls him Mephibosheth's Rebbe. Otherwise, he wouldn't be allowed to call him by his first name. The post can bring down. You can't call your Rebbe by your first name. But if you say Rabbi so-and-so, people can say Rebbe Moshe. If you go to Moshe Feinstein and call him Moshe, you got a lot of problems. Right? But you call Rabbe Moshe, right? Yeah, that you're allowed to do. So therefore, if he calls him Mephibosheth's Rebbe, we see here that if you call your Rebbe by the title of Rebbe, you give him a title, then you can even say his name. Bomelo. And he would say to him, Mephibosheth's Rebbe, he would ask his Rebbe, Yofid Danti, Yofid Chiyafti. This is in dealings with Mamonos or with Pikuach Nefashos matters. So did I judge correctly? Did I make the person who was Chayav, Chayav, the person who was free, not Chayav, not guilty, Yofid Zachisi. And Yofid Taharti, Yofid Tamesi. Did I pass incorrectly? Did I make the Tomei person Tomei, the Torah person Torah, or did I make a mistake? Well, Boshti. That's what they said. Mephibosheth, his name wasn't really Mephibosheth. Some say his name was Ish-Bosheth or Ish-Eshbal. So in any event, he said, Mephibosheth, I wasn't afraid to go and ask him, and he would embarrass me. He would say, no, I'm wrong. And I wasn't embarrassed and I wasn't afraid. That's the greatness of David HaMelech.
Doesn't God know this? Why does he have to tell God?
He's telling us. I'm not telling God. This is either through Ruach HaKodesh, or he's saying that this is the difference between the secular kings and myself. I'm not such a great person. But that's how I said, the explanation of Lo Chosid Ani. I'm really not a Chosid, but I'm different than the secular kings at least. Am Rishu B'Reid Ravidi. My Kroah. What does the pasuk mean? It says, Vadabra Be'Dosecha, Negid Melochim, Lo Evosh. So, Negid Melochim over here means against Mephibosheth, who is of royal lineage. So he says, Tana, Lo Mephibosheth, his name really wasn't Mephibosheth. El, his name was either Ish-Bosheth, or on the side it tells us that his name was Ish-Baal, or some say Esh-Baal. Again, this is, according to many, the son of Shaul, one of the sons of Shaul. And Ish-Bosheth actually reigned after Shaul. So if this was Ish-Bosheth, so then he actually reigned for 5 years after Shaul's death. He simultaneously reigned with David HaMelech for the end of that 7-year period of time, and then David HaMelech for the last 33 years of his career reigned over all of Klal Yisrael. The first 7 years he only reigned over Yerushalayim and Hebron and a couple of other places. So whoever this Mephibosheth was, it's not clear either the son of Shaul or he was the son of Yonah's son, the grandson of Shaul. So he says, El Ish Boshes Shemo, the law Maniko Shemo, Mephibosheth, Shemo Vayesh Pnei David Balocha. He would embarrass David and say, David, you're wrong. Now, only problem is, the Gemara later on tells us that David was never wrong. David was Zochet to have the Halacha always as he passed it. He didn't make mistakes. And David HaMelech was Zochet. Not everybody's Zochet. Sometimes it'd be a great Talmud Chacham, right? Rav Meir is a great Talmud Chacham, greater than his colleagues, but we don't always pass it like Rav Meir. In fact, we usually pass it against Rav Meir when he's arguing with certain of his colleagues. Rav Yehuda against Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda wins. Rav Yossi against Rav Meir, Rav Yossi wins. So even though Rav Meir may have been greater than them, but he's not always Zochet to win these arguments. Rav was greater than Rav Yochanan. The Halacha is like Rav Yochanan against Rav. So in any event over here, Mephibosheth seemed to embarrass David. When David would paskin Lekula, and Mephibosheth would say, no, you have to go Lechomer over here, so David would defer to him, even though David was right, as we'll see in a moment. Lefikach, because David was so humble, he deferred to his Rebbe, Zocher David Yotzi Menu Kilav. David was Zocher to have a son Kilav. Who is Kilav? You don't know much about Kilav, except from this Gemara over here. He was one of David's sons. He's one of the four people that the Gemara in Bava Basra, and I think in Brachos as well, later on, tell us that he only died because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed death in the world. Be'itav shel Nochash. So therefore, he's one of the four people. It's funny. David's father Yishai and David's son Kilav are two of those four people. Moshe's father Amram and Binyamin, those are the other two people. But not David. He wasn't one of the people. David did sins that he would have deserved to, at some point in time, die from, which he did. The other four people that I mentioned, including Kilav, they only died because Hashem decreed death on the world. Who was Kilav? Amram Yochanan. Lo Kilav Shemo. His name wasn't Kilav. Elo Daniel Shemo. His name was really Daniel. The Lamaniko Shemo Kilav. Why was he called Kilav then? Show you a machlim pnei Mephibosheth ba'alocha. Because he showed that Mephibosheth was wrong. And David, in fact, was right in every one of these cases. So he was able to prove that Mephibosheth was incorrect in saying that David was incorrect. And that's where he gets the name. Kol Av. So the word Kol means he was removing the embarrassment of his father. So he disproved Mephibosheth, who had tried to, not necessarily tried to, but had embarrassed his father. Oliver Shlomo, and Shlomo says, and the word Bichachma, so not everybody agrees to over here. Some deleted over here, because this was Shlomo through Ruach HaKodesh saying this over here. B'nei, im chacham libcha yismach libi gam oni. So Shlomo Melch is talking about David over here. It's David that he's saying this, so to say, in his mouth. I have a son that you're able to go and reclaim my honor over here. Yomer chacham b'nei v'samach libi v'ashiv v'chorfi dover. You're able to restore my correctness in my psak halacha by showing that Mephibosheth was in fact wrong. Nu v'David mi kari l'nafshi chassid. Now the Gemara asks the basic question. David's calling himself a chassid. V'aksiv, David himself, lulei amanti l'ros b'tov Hashem yaretz chayim. That when all my enemies were against me, I didn't think that I would necessarily make it. I was hoping that I would make it, and that's what kept me going when he was attacked by his sons, when he was sent into Golus for a while, when he had all these Yisurim and everything, they were all making fun of him. Ah, you killed, you're an adulterer, you killed him. All the things that David HaMelech had to go through in his life. So he says, if it was only my trust in Hashem. So, V'tana Mishmei Rav Yossi, Loma Nokud Alule, the word Lule has dots on it. So how come it has dots to come to teach us? Om Adal L'Yakosh Baruch Hu, Rebbe Shalom, Muftachani B'chosh Atom Mishalim Schar Tov L'Tzadikim L'Osid Lavo. I know that you repay everybody the way they deserve to be repaid. And I know I have certain righteous deeds that I've done. But maybe, the Lule over here means maybe not. Avo Eini Odeh M'yeshi Chelik B'neim. I know you treat all the tzaddikim properly, but I don't know if I'm going to fall into that category. In lav, or not. Shemo yigro machet, because maybe sins that I will have done will have unfortunately caused me to lose the zechusim that I would have had. Where does David get this idea that you could lose your zechusim by doing something wrong? So the Gemara says, because Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, that's the statement that Rabbi Yaakov Aridi made. Where did he say this? Rabbi Yaakov Aridi Rami. He said, look, he says in one pasuk, Hinei onachi imcha ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov, don't worry, you're going to Lavan, I'll take care of you. You're going to be fine. I'll protect you in every way. But then it says, when he comes back, Musiv, Vayiro Yaakov Mo, he's afraid. He's afraid that he's going to get killed by Esav. So how come? So he taught us over there, Amar Shema Yigro Machay, maybe I did something wrong, that I no longer am deserving of that promise of protection that Hashem promised me. Kidatanya. And where do we see an example of where Hashem promised a certain thing and then didn't keep it because the chait stopped it. So say Naz Yashir, Ad Yavor Alcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Mzukanisa. So this is a reference over here to the building of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. So Ad Yavor Alcha Hashem, Zubiyah Rishona. That's Yoshua going into the land and ultimately rebuilding, building Eretz Yisrael, and ultimately in the Bayis Rishon from Shlomo. Ad Yavor Mzukanisa, this is a reference to Zubiyah Shnia, when Ezra came in and rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. So what was supposed to be over here, they're both listed in Oz Yashir. So Mikadam Ru Chachomim, the Chachomim Darshid Aprim over here. Ruim Ha Yisrael Laso Leosos Lam Neis Bime Ezra Kiderek Shanas Lam Bime Yeshua Ben Nun. That just like all the miracles that occurred during the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, Bayis Rishon, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they came back with unbelievable, you know, Nisim, Galuyim, that they defeated the nations of Canaan, and they ultimately built the Beis HaMikdash, and there were Nisim and Galuyim, they crossed the Yam Suf, just like they did all of those Nisim, that was supposed to be the way Bayis Sheni was supposed to come back. Ezra was supposed to come back with huge fanfare, and instead they came back as beggars almost, begging Koresh, begging Daryovish to let them build the Beis HaMikdash. Remember we had the other day, they have to fight, one hand they're building, and the other hand they're holding a sword, half of them holding a sword, half of them are building. So what caused this? So the sins of the people, Sinaschinam, all the sins that they were still doing, caused them to not come back with this huge fanfare. So even though something could be, it doesn't necessarily have to be. So this idea of Sherbim Garam Achait applied to David HaMelech as well. He was concerned. Now I go back to the Mishnah. It said, Chachamim say that you're supposed to say Kriyat Shema until Chatzos. So we already asked and answered all of this in the Mishnah because we knew it from the Gemara, but we'll say it again. The Chacham had a middle shita. They didn't have the earlier shita of Rabbi Eliezer, which said that you're allowed to say Kriyat Shema only till the end of the Ashmura Rishona. And they didn't say the later shita of the Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, that you don't say it until Olas HaShachar. So what do the Chachamim actually hold? Chachamim Kaman Sirulu. Ik Rabbi Eliezer, Sirulu, Lamech Rabbi Eliezer. If they hold like Rabbi Eliezer, they should have said, we hold like Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabban Gamliel, if they hold like the Shita until Olas HaShachar, Sirulhu, if that's the way the Chacham held, they move Rabban Gamliel. So where did they get this middle Shita from? So we already know the answer. The Mishnah itself stated it. Liolam Rabban Gamliel, they really hold like Rabban Gamliel, Sirulhu. Their opinion is really that you can say Kriyat Shema until Olas HaShachar. Aye, they said to Chatzos. The reason why they said until Chatzos over here was because they did not want people to go and delay. Again, it's very difficult to know, even with your atomic watch, even with your digital everything. So it's very difficult to know exactly when Olas HaShachar is. Even today, we have machlokes when Olas HaShachar is. You have multiple different opinions as to when Olas HaShachar is. So people are going to rely upon just looking up in the sky. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of light in the sky. That could be a cloud, that could be the moon, that could be who knows what. So you don't want to take chances and say, I can go up until Olas HaShachar for anything, and it's still l'chatchila good to do until Olas HaShachar. So the rabbis instituted a fence over here, which is a very smart thing. We say that Pirkei Avos. You always make fences around Dinam Daraisa or even around sometimes actions that we do that aren't necessarily pure mitzvahs. You make harchakos, you make all sorts of gedarim, you make also protective devices that you shouldn't transgress something. So if they left it to people, you know that if you left it to the last moment, there are going to be many people that are going to not do it. They're going to forget, they're going to fall asleep, whatever. So therefore, the rabbis made a harchak over here, finish it by chatzos. So therefore, even those people that do it right after Chatzos, and then did it 2 minutes after Chatzos, they're still within the time frame, then it's acceptable. Kidetanya. Chachamim osu siyog l'divrayim. The rabbis make siyogim. They make fences. They make protective barriers around their words. Kidei shlo ye'odom bo min asodim ba'er. Because you know what's going to happen. We know human psychology. President Ramon, dead tired after work. Bo min asodim ba'er. Omer. Eilech lebesi. Now I get to go home. I'm starving. They didn't have the resources that we had today. They had a meal in the morning, they had a meal in the evening. They didn't eat necessarily much in the afternoon all day. So they're working hard, they had manual labor, they're working out in the field, whatever they were doing. So let me come home to my house, eat a little bit. The Ashtar came out, had a little drink. I'm exhausted. The Ishan came out, I'll take a little nap. A little nap at night means you're going to sleep through the night. The Achekachekur Kriyashma Vesbalo. And only then I'll get up after I take my little nap, and I'll get up, I'll daven Kriyashma and Maariv. Shmon Esrei over here is Tfila. Vesbalo always means Shmon Esrei. Whenever you see the word Tfila, it really means Shmon Esrei. So therefore, that's what they said. But what's going to happen? Normal human behavior. They're going to fall asleep. They'll wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning already. It's after Olas HaShachar. They didn't daven Kriyashma Shomar. Therefore,
What should a person do? Aval odom bomin asod de be'erev. You come home from hard work day at work. Nichnas lebeis hakneses. Go straight to shul. Don't stop off and detour and eat and do all sorts of things beforehand. Before you daven, you should always go into davening for learning. That's why the daf yomi, for the people that are davening at the 7:30 minyan. So then Baruch Hashem, we're going in and fulfilling this idea that you should learn before you daven. Although we'll say, there's a big machlok, as Rashi tells us, as to whether you're allowed to do this over here. Tosos over here brings down that Rashi says that you're, or it's on the next page, he says that, who says, where did Rashi get this idea that you're not allowed, to learn before davening? Because it says over here that you shouldn't do anything before you daven. So, Tosa says that doesn't include learning. It means work, it means other things, but you're allowed to learn. This is a famous local of Rashi. Tosa, even Rashi, according to many, has understood you shouldn't do deep, involved learning because you're going to forget. Or you shouldn't do deep, involved learning alone in your house. Because then you're going to forget. You're going to get so caught up in your learning. Somebody comes here to Daf Yomi, trust me, I have been told many times, I'm going too long. We have to go down to daven. So you're going to stop me if I go too long. So when you're davening in a shul, many say, even Rashi would say, you're allowed to go and learn before davening. But Tosfos certainly says, l'chachila, and that's the way the Veld Paskins, that you're absolutely allowed to learn before you daven. In fact, that's the great thing. We'll learn the Hasidim Rishonim. They used to spend an hour before they're davening, contemplating and thinking or learning before they daven, to prepare yourself for davening. That's why Ashrei is the prelude to davening. You should have Torah before davening. Yeah.
Isn't there some concern that person be too fatrachten?
Yeah. Oh, so that's another reason. Very good. So another reason, that's why you shouldn't learn the very deeply involved stuff. If you just learned the complicated sugyas in Nida that we just learned, and you're in the middle of Bar Shama, you're going to be thinking about the complicated sugya in Nida rather than thinking about Bar Shama. Very good, Elliot. So that's another explanation. There are many explanations, but the bottom line is, anybody who's looking for kulas, we love to give out kulas, you can learn all you want before davening. Come to Daf Yomi, do the Chazor Shir for Daf Yomi, do the Shulchan Aruch on the Daf Yomi, and then go daven. I give you a heta. I'll take all the issur that you think you're doing. I'll take all of that on myself if you give me all the schar for all the learning that you have as well. Okay. So in any event, it says, what should a person do before he comes home? Should go to the shul and learn. Now, not everybody's able to learn on the same level. Imragu likros kari. If you only learn chumash, so learn chumash. Don't be embarrassed. That's great. The imragu lishnos, shana. If you learn mishnah, learn mishnah. The kari kriyashma. Then, go into your davening coming from a learning point of view. The kari kriyashma mispalo. Tosus learn. And then, v'ocho pito mevarech. And then, go eat supper and bench. Now, Tosus points out of it, the top little Tosus, very important Tosus. V'kan mashma, shemisho shegiyaz man kriyashma shalayla, she'ein lo lecho suda achi kari kriyashma v'smal arvis. This is true for every davening. Tosus points out of here for marav. You're really not supposed to eat before you daven marav, based upon this gemara. This is halacha lemaisa. How do many people eat? If you're davening at the 10 o'clock marav, okay, if you daven bismarav, so then, okay, you're not going to really have so much of a problem. But if you want to come home and daven at 10 o'clock marav, you have a shir at night. Right, you come to my Tuesday night shia, and you're davening at the 9 o'clock bar, then you come to the shia. So most people want to eat supper before the shia. So what do you do in that situation? So you're allowed to go and eat before Maariv if you make yourself some sort of a hecker. That's the idea. You should have an alarm clock. You set your watch. You tell your wife. You tell somebody to call you. Or if you're going to go and have a chavrusa, if you're in a public place, so then there are all sorts of aterim for a person to do this. But l'chatchila, if all things are equal, one should always daven before they eat. This is especially true by Shachar's time, but it's also true by Mincha and Maariv as well. Then it says, anybody that doesn't listen to what the Chachamim say, they're a Chayiv Misa. So everybody asks over here, it doesn't say every time there's a Din D'Rabbanan, you're Chayiv Misa if you don't do it. But here it does. So why specifically over here does it mention this? So the Gemara says two possible terutzim. Number one, because this is human psychology. You know, to say another Din D'Rabbanan that I should go light the Chanukah licht, you don't have such a Yetzirah not to go light the Chanukah licht. You know, most people are going to do it if that's the Din D'Rabbanan. You don't need this extra warning. And if you don't do it, you chayv misa, which we'll explain in a moment. What does that mean? But by this concept of David Meyer before you eat, so there's a tremendous push, there's a tremendous desire for a person, he's tired, to sleep a little bit, eat a little bit before he davens. So therefore, it needs to be reminded over here, the rabbi said, don't do this, and you got to follow what the rabbi say. Alternatively, you might say, lafuki man diyama, tilas arvis rishos. There is an opinion, we'll have a whole discussion about whether it is a chiv to daven ma'arav, or it's just a very nice idea. Nobody get any ideas before we get to that gemara. Today we paskin, it's absolutely a chiv to daven ma'arav. You don't have a choice. But there is a whole machlokas, very interesting machlokas, as to whether it's a chiv or not a chiv over here. So kamash lon, the chidish over here is a chova, and therefore don't think that you can get away without davening ma'arav. Now, why do we say yechayv misa? So the answer is, because this is all based upon basically a din that all the rabbanans come from lo sasur. The din of, you have to listen to the rabbis, lo sasur, from what the rabbis tell you. Where is that written down by? That's written down by Zokin Mamre. And a Zokin Mamre is a capital crime. So we're alluding to this idea from Zokin Mamre, that when you don't follow what the rabbi said, there's a potential that it could be a capital crime. And therefore, one has to listen to what the rabbis posit. So it's always over here. This is a statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be very unhappy with you if you don't listen to Rabbi said. There's a potential for a person to die. Lav Davka. We don't understand how exactly the Schar V'Onish works in Shemayim. So that's always the answer that we have to all of these types of Gemaras when they tell us, if you do this, something good will happen. If you do this, something bad will happen. That's not the only factor. We're not over here living in an isolated experiment. There's so many variables. That's why only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can calculate it. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't understand your Schar V'Onish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if Moshe Rabbeinu can't understand it, you and I ain't going to do much better of a job. So therefore, how these things, these are all principles that we're supposed to live our life by. Good general ideas, listen to what the rabbis say. You're never going to go wrong if you follow what the rabbis say. Amar, we repeat what we said before. Kuri Kriya Shema Mispalel. That the order is you say Kriya Shema and then you go in Daven. Misayelil Rav Yochanan. This is a famous machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Yeshua ben Levi. As to what's the order. Now we're shocked at this. If you don't notice Gemara, you're shocked. Of course you say Kriya Shema and then you say Shmon Esrei. Well, guess what? Rav Yeshua ben Levi says not so. He says you say Shmon Esrei and then you say Kriya Shema. Shocking. So Gemara says, Yom Rav Yochanan, Ezeb ben Olam Abba. Who's a person who's going to be guaranteed? Again, no guarantees. You have to live your whole life. But this is a great way to make sure that you're on the right track. That you be a ben olam haba, zahasomech gula l'tvila shel arvis. Then you say shma, go'al yisrael, and then shmon esrei. That's a great way to be a ben olam haba. In other words, shma first, and then shmon esrei. Rishon Levi disagrees. Oh man, tvilos b'emtza tiknum. Shmon esrei is on the middle. Shma is the bookend. Shma in the morning, shma at night, Shmon Esrei is in between. In other words, you say it Ma'ariv, Shmon Esrei, and then you say Shema. Does this have halach l'maisa? It does. It has one aspect halach l'maisa that we follow this. If you come late to shul, not that anybody here would ever come late to shul, but if you walk into shul, and that's the only Ma'ariv you could go to, and they're up to staying Shmon Esrei, the halach is, we follow Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, you say Shmon Esrei with them. The tefillah b'tzibur is more important than being somech gula l'tefillah by Ma'ariv. By Shachar's time, you can't try this. But by Maariv time, if you come in late to shul, and they're up to Shmon Esrei, they're about to start Shmon Esrei, you say Shmon Esrei with them, and then go back afterwards and say the brachas of Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema afterwards. So we actually paskin like this Rishu lady in this unusual situation, where somebody comes late, which is a very, very unusual situation, I'm sure, and therefore would never really be halach l'mais of anybody in this year. No, what are they arguing about? Michael Miflagi. Ibai say Makra, Ibai say Misvar. Either they're arguing about a pasuk, or they're arguing about a svar. What is that? Ibai Zeh Misvar. We always like to start off with the Svar because that's more dear to us than it's our own innovation. So we always like to start off with the Svar. So Ibai Zeh Misvar. The Rav Yochanan Svar Gula Mi Urta Nami Have. That the Gula began also at the beginning of the night. It wasn't only that we take it out in the middle of the night. But we also came out at the beginning of the night. So therefore, the Gula is still considered a Gula at night time. And Ella, Gula Ma'a Yisrael Havi. It wasn't as great as the Gula in the middle of the night, but therefore we still recognize, and that's why we say Go'al Yisrael by Ma'ariv, and then the Shmon Esrei. It can be so much Gula L'Tfilah, because that's something that's very important, even by Ma'ariv. Much more important by Shacharis. The Dinim of Interruptions are much stricter by Shacharis than they are by Ma'ariv. Ella at Safra. So the real Gula wasn't only till the morning. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Savar, Kivin Dol Havi Elamit Safra, since the real Gula was in the morning, Moshe Rabbeinu starts taking him out at midnight with Makis Mechoros, and we leave in the morning, so then Lo Havi Gula Ma'ayisa. So then at night, that's not called the Gula, and therefore he says you don't have to be so much Gula L'Tvila, it's Nishkefer L'Chefina. That's Rabbi Shua ben Levi. That's the Svar. Ibai say Makra, Ushtem Mikrech Darshan. They both darshan the same pasuk. Dechsev, Bishach Mechov Kumecha. They both darshan this pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan Savar, Mekish Shechiva Lekima. He compared, he juxtaposed over here, Shechiva and Kima. What does that mean? Ma Kima Kriyashma Vyachakak Tevila. Just like in the morning, everybody agrees, even Shuba Levi agrees, in the morning, you have to be Somech Gula Tevila. So first you say Berch Shema and Kriyashma, and then Shmon Esrei, Gua Yisrael, Hashem Svasai Tiftach, right away, no interruption. Just like there's no interruption over there, Ashkiva Nami Kriyashma Vyachak Tevila. So he compares it, just like by Shach, it's the same thing by Mar. And Rishu Levi says, no, Savar, make your Shchiva Lekima. I compare them in the following way. Ma Kima Kriyashma Somuch Lemitah. So just like Kriyashma is right getting up from the bed in the morning, so to Kriyashma at night, Avshchiva Nami Kriyashma Somuch Lemitah. So to at night, the Kriyashma should be right next to your bed. In other words, the last thing you do, or towards the end of the things that you do, just like in the morning, it's the first thing you do, in the evening, it's the last thing you do. And the Shmona Esrei are in between. So whether it's a Svara or whether it's a Psukim, that's what they darshan. Masav Marib read the Ravina. He asked the following shayla. The Arab Mavar Shtayim Lefanel Shtayim Lachra. He says, wait a second. By Marib, there's two brachas before and two brachas after. By Shachris, only two brachas before and one bracha afterwards. So by Shachris, you don't have the extra bracha because it would be interrupting Gula Latvila, and you don't have the right to do that. The Amr is boiled smoke. But if by night time you also have to be Somech Gula Latvila, Holo Kos Somech Gula Latvila, the Ha Boil Meme Hashki Venu. We have another bracha by Marib, Hashki Venu. That's interrupting Gula Latvila. We also have Yiru'enenu. We have Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen. Tosfos asks all of that. That's also, we'll see the same teretz. If you don't say Hashkivenu, we say the Baruch Hashem Le'olam, Yiru'enenu, and the Kaddish. It's all considered, according to many, Gula Richta. That's why, however, when that was set up, the Baruch Hashem Le'olam was set up for a specific reason, for the latecomers to shul, when their shuls were out of town. That's why many say that there's an opinion that says you don't say Baruch Hashem today. In Eretz Yisrael, that's the accepted opinion, the Vilna Gaon's opinion, that's accepted. In Chutz Laaretz, you have different opinions. Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's on the Yigas Moshe, says you should follow one opinion. That includes Saturday night. There's some people that say Baruch Hashem all week long, but they don't say it Saturday night. Let's say Shabbos. So Rav Moshe says that's not correct. Either say it all the time or don't say it all the time. You should follow one opinion. There's no difference between the different days. In any event, Hashkivenu is an interruption. So how can you tell me you have to be so much gula tefillah by Hashkivenu? So Amri, Moshe says, Kivin de Tokinu. Since we have over here a Takana, the Rabbanon, Hashkivenu, Kigula Arichta Dami. Since the rabbi said you should do this, we're allowed to do this. Because the Elo Teva Hachi, so then if you don't say this, by Shachris, you can ask the same question. Shachris, Hechi Motzi Somuch. How do we ever have Gula Tefillah by Shachris? We don't say Goal Yisrael, and then Baruch Atah Hashem, we say Hashem Sosai Tiftoch. For Amar Yochanan, B'tchil Omer Hashem Sosai Tiftoch. Ul B'sof Uomer Yul Ratzon. So you're supposed to say it. So how do you get around saying that that's not an interruption? So Gemara says, Amri. U.S. only may fee. Ella, Hossam, Kivin, the Tekin Rabban, Lemaymar, Shem Sosai Tiftoch, Kitvila Richta Damya. That's also considered an intrinsic part of the Shemoneh Esrei. And everybody agrees that Hashem Sosai Tiftoch is an intrinsic part of the Shemoneh Esrei, as opposed to Kishem Hashem Ekra is not. This has a huge nafkamina. Are you supposed to say it out loud or not for Chazar Sashat? This is a famous machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Rav Zatzal. So the Mishnah Berurah says that the Chazan must say Hashem Sosai Tiftoch, but he says it silently. And the Rav Zatzal, Rav Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, Zatzal says, that no, you're part of the intrinsic Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore you have to say it out loud. And he says, the Chazan says out loud, in our shul, we follow that opinion. But it's a mistake to say Ki Hashem Hashem Ekra out loud. And the Reshef Tashlita explained that when the Rav said it out loud, it wasn't the one with the Rav Davod Yomim, that was his whisper. The Rav had a loud voice. So he would whisper Ki Hashem Hashem Ekra, everybody could hear him, and then he would say Hashem Sosai out loud. So only Hashem Sosai is supposed to be said out loud, but not Ki Hashem Hashem Ekra. So other people that quote, they follow the Rav Shita, they don't fully necessarily understand what the Rav Shita is. In any way, the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. Many agree with the Mishnah Berurah. Many agree with the Rav's position. I just gave you the highlights of those two positions. Anyway, in any event, it says that Hashem Sosai is like a tefillah richta. So Hachanami, keeping the Tekin Rabban, Lamei Hashkivenu, Kigula Richta Dami. So to over here, the Hashkivenu is considered a Gula Richta. It's an extension of Gual Yisrael, and it's not considered enough of an interruption. That's why by Marav, you're allowed to be a little bit more Mekel by Shachris. You're not, by Shachris, not to have any interruption. By Marav, you could clap, you could say Yalav Yavu, you could say things like that. That's because it's not a stronger connection of Gula Latvila, but it still is something very, very important to do. Okay, we'll finish today's share.